Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 14th, episode 765, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here. If you are awake and listening live on this fine, beautiful Monday morning, good for you. Because Glenn, Jennifer, and I are not awake yet. I had one of those nights with the baby where he just was up like every 2 hours. I'm on my third cup of coffee, so if I start to shake or something, well, you won't know. So it's great. Just a little bit of an insider, a look at the behind the scenes here at Horses in the Morning is that at the beginning of every show, we say the exact same things. I'm Glenn the Geek from California. I'm Jamie Jennings, Phoenix, Arizona. And it's something that we read, and it's directly on the sheet right in front of us. And it seems to me, you guys, are y'all messing with me?
Why, it's not October 14th?
No, every week, something, every Monday morning, something is different. And it's like y'all are screwing with me, because this week it says, I am Jamie Jennings, and there's no where I'm from. And it's every week there's like some, like the date is wrong, or my name is spelled, or like I'm not quick enough on a Monday morning to like, pick it up. You know what I mean?
Well, see,
if
I get
read
it
as written,
I get up at 4 o'clock to do the show notes, and so I'm not awake enough to do them, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I'm not awake enough to read them because it's 6 o'clock right now, and if you guys leave something out, it's just going to get left out. I'm Jamie Jennings. That's my name, Jennings. If you don't put my last name in, I can't remember what it is. I'm Jamie.
That's me through the entire show, not just morning. That's me all the time, Jamie.
you could literally put my name as LaQuisha, and I'm from South Atlanta, and I would.
You would
that.
Read it. Now you have caught some date errors and things in the past. I've been impressed that you have caught them. A little pause.
I don't know. A little pause. You didn't put where I was from, and literally, I'm like, and I'm Jamie Jennings. I'm from Phoenix. Wait, hell, where am I? So, yeah, y'all, it's like every morning, it's like a test. I need to read this stuff ahead of time. So, anyway, that's what I was typing seriously about.
And usually, every morning, there's one of us that's awake. This morning, it's like all of us are like, oh, Sunday.
Yes, exactly. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm perking up. I've been saving my energy for right now. So I am ramped up and I'm ready now. So my shoulders will get sore from carrying you, but I can do it. Okay, I can do it. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. Now that we all have admitted to having a bad case of the Mondays, horse adoptions and champions looking for a new home meet this morning. as Melissa from New Vocations stops by to tell us about a particularly exciting three-year-old that is looking for a new home, and he's living in Kentucky right now. Can't wait to hear about that. And following some crazy, wacky, and weird headlines from the horse world, the laugh track of the equestrian universe, Horse Nation, is here. Compliments of Leslie Wiley. Stay tuned for the prey.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Harry Edwards Brady, who is 3 years old, and he was riding his four-year-old Dartmoor pony by the name of Divine, and he became the youngest rider ever to compete in the Horse of the Year competition over in England, which is a big deal, and he did very well. He's a nursery school student. Thousands of people there were there to cheer him on, and they did. His mom was very proud, and he did very well. Apparently, he had won like four competitions leading up to this. There's a picture that's very cute of him on his pony in his full getup with all of the ribbons, which are literally bigger than he is, attached to his coat. That's a very cute picture. Jennifer, you'll have to post that one if you see it there. And he did very well. He didn't win the competition, but you know, his mom said also the pressure doesn't get to him. He's a kid. He doesn't care. He's like any other competition. And he apparently has other interests. He still likes to ride on tractors. He finger paints, and he loves ice cream. So he's a well-rounded little guy who did very well this year in the show season in England.
Let me just jump in here, because, Jennifer, I'm sure you're thinking the same thing I am. First of all, he's a three-year-old, and he's riding a four-year-old pony.
Four-year-old.
And yeah. That spells danger, but...
Fat pony, by the way.
Yeah. Now, this is lead line, right?
It didn't really say in the article what class he was in.
You would hope
he
so.
He says he competed in the Mountain and Moorland Lead Rein of the Year final.
Yeah,
okay, so it is like lead line classes. So when I've seen this story in a bunch of places, like, oh, this is so amazing. Isn't every lead line class like some 2 or 3 year old sitting on the horse and the mom's leading them around?
Now, the big deal here was this is the youngest ever to compete in the Horse of the Year show. They're usually much older. 5 or 6 years old when they compete in the Horse of the Year show.
Well, yeah. I figure I've got two and a half years to get Lucas ready to shine
there
his boots. And
Lucas would look really cute in his little outfit he's got on, wouldn't he?
Oh, my God, would he not? Ah, so cute. You know what?
Adorable.
Even if he doesn't do lead line, he might just have to walk around in little riding pants and little boots and little show coats.
The one picture where he has all the ribbons on him that I want Jennifer to post, he actually has bright yellow riding pants on and like a, what color, green, a green checked coat on. He's so cute with an orange tie. So he's looking very bright and lively in that picture.
Very dapper. Very
yes.
Dapper and adorable. But my question was, like, I've read a lot of articles about this kid, and I'm like, wait. It doesn't ever really say, yes, it's lead line. I mean, it's like, oh, he was such an important show, and he was so great. And I'm like, this was lead line, right?
And, you know, I'm sure if Horse and Country TV are on a Wednesday, that Victoria will be able to give us the scoop on this kid. I'm sure they've been following it. It's the biggest story over there right now.
Perfect. Is this really the equine version of Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yeah.
Is that really what we're seeing here?
Oh, my God, Jennifer, you nailed it.
With a helmet.
Nailed it.
And where do they find a helmet to fit the kid? That's my question.
Little velvet hunt cap, so cute. Okay.
His pony's cute, too, by the way, everybody. His pony's really cute.
Really
all right,
cute.
Your turn.
All right, my daily whinny goes out to somebody we've all heard of, John Velasquez, the Hall of Fame jockey. Well, over the weekend, he became North America's all-time leading money-earning rider. He was at Belmont, and he surpassed Pat Day's record Now I'm going to try to read this number. He now reached, over the weekend, 297,922,320 in career purses. Good God. That's $300 million. $300 million. And what do they get, 10%? Yeah, that dude's doing all right for himself. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Not bad at all. Well, God.
I was just going to say, even if it's 8%, I just figured it out, and you're looking at about 24 million.
Well, 10% of 300 million is 30 million, Glenn. Good job. Good math.
Yes.
Mine was easier. Well, this was, he beat Pat Day, who's one of my favorite jockeys I used to love watching when I was younger. Pat Day ran for 297 million, blah, 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 almost 300 million. And he actually ran 12,000 more races than John Velasquez. 12,000 more races than John Velasquez to win that same amount of money. So just going to show you inflation. I guess it's not been adjusted for inflation, but just an absolutely ridiculous amount of money that he has won. Now, of course, John Velasquez has rode Animal Kingdom, Rags to Riches, Union Rags. Also, he is the pilot of our new favorite horse, Wise Dan. So he has done very well for himself, and he's still going, so we'll see how far he gets.
Cool, very cool. Well, I took PT Scooter out. We had a new adventure with him over the weekend. Of course, we're still ground driving him because my carriage is supposed to be going into production this week. By the way, I'm getting a metallic blue one with yellow wheels. Should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I couldn't
all
get
right.
an ordinary, black one. That was going to be boring. So, the company I'm using for iCarriage is out of Wisconsin. Can make them in one of 1,000 different colors. So that should start in production this week. So we're still ground driving the little guy. I thought, well, Saturday, let's take him off the property. First time we'll have ground driven him on the roads around the neighborhood, which has no traffic, so it's not a big deal. So we took him out. He did great. Jennifer was along. We got about halfway around the block we were going, and our neighbors were out walking, and they stopped, and they had to say hi. Well, while they were there, about three joggers were coming down. They all had to stop and say hi to the cute little pony. People were taking pictures with him. They were all getting pictures, standing,
aww,
hugging him. And PT was great. He just stood there. A donkey came up to say hi right beside him, which he thought was interesting. And all the people
hugged.
Fine. He just looked at him and said, oh, okay, donkey. And the donkey was just staring at him. But we have a lot of donkeys in our neighborhood. And but he did great with the people. We're all rubbing all over him and everything. And then we took him back out driving after they were done. So he has a little fan club in the neighborhood now. PT Scooter does. He is getting really, really cute now.
That's awesome.
He's filling out and looking like a real pony. We're going to have to shave him, though. His hair is getting a little long for Florida. I don't know. He's getting a proper northeast winter coat. And he's getting a little warm now, so I think we're going to have to give him a shave job here very shortly.
A proper northeast winter coat, and he lives in Florida? That's
yes.
Not good.
I don't know why he's getting such a coat, but he is definitely getting a thick winter coat.
Grizzly bear worthy, yes.
Yeah, he's going to have to get shaved. So we'll see how that goes. Jennifer will do that. Don't worry, everybody. He doesn't have to be embarrassed because I will not be doing the shaving. Jennifer's much better at it. Are you good at that? Are you good at the whole body clipping thing?
You know what? No. Because what happens is you start to body clip, and then, I'll have just put in chapstick on, and, then I'll start clipping, and the hair gets stuck in my lip balm, and then I'll start to wipe it away, and then I'll get, the dirt and hair across my lips and get it in my mouth. It's a train wreck. If there's somebody else who can do it, please.
Well, we're waiting for his harness, too, so we had to go out and get him a bridle. We've been using a makeshift bridle, and now it's time to get him a, real bridle. So we actually brought him a racing bridle because we have a bunch of racing stores here. We bought him a bright yellow racing bridle. So now he's going to have a yellow bridle for the meantime until we get his proper harness in. But when he gets his harness in, I want to get him bright yellow reins to match the yellow wheels on the cart. So he should be quite a circus sight coming down the road.
Jennifer, this is the perfect opportunity. This is just Christmas presents. Just keep stacking them up.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
This is perfect, perfect. Hey, speaking of Christmas presents, now that my husband has walked into the room, I would like... I would like to head over to New Vocations in Kentucky and pick up the Miss North Carolina 10 by Curlin. We've got our guest on the phone. Melissa King is with us from Kentucky and New Vocations. She's the Kentucky facility manager. And good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
If you could just put a shiny bow on his head, put him on a trailer, and send him to feed. Holy cow, this is one of the nicest looking horses I've seen you guys have. Talk to us about Miss North Carolina 10.
He is gorgeous. He's a 16 two-hand son of Curlin, and he's 3 years old, unraced. He's out of the unraced mare, Miss North Carolina. He's in August, and so I wasn't too keen on calling him Ms. North Carolina the whole time, so I think anybody who's a college sports fan will appreciate that they named him Tar Heel. And he's a big character. He has a very Arab look to his face, and he loves to play around, and he'll run the field, he'll instigate the other boys. He's definitely a character.
So for those who aren't looking at him right now, this is a absolutely stunning bay horse. He's got a blaze very similar to my horse, Jet. They're just conformationally put together so fantastically and absolutely stunning. And the photos that you guys have taken of him in his bridle and out working in the arena, he's got such an impressive trot. It looks like this horse could go into the dressage arena. He could go and be an eventer. He could go and do the hunters. It's like he could have a limitless career.
He really could. He is very athletic. And that physically, he's extremely mature and into himself and athletic. He's still
right.
Very much a baby mentally.
Now, that's what I wanted to ask, because the ad says, and we read a lot of ads on this show, and some of them are good, and most of them are very bad, and so we try to read between the lines. So I wanted to read between the lines of this paragraph here. Under saddle, he is quite playful, so his current challenge is to focus on the task at hand. He is physically mature, but mentally immature. Does that mean he's going to buck your butt off? Let's be real.
No, he really, I mean, he'll jump and play, but you actually really feel quite secure on him. He's more looky, and in the sense that he'll go by something four times, and it won't bother him. But on that fifth time, it will all of a sudden become something to notice. And, he's really not afraid of it. He's more playing with you and testing you.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, he's just a three-year-old thoroughbred who hasn't even had that experience at the track. I watched a video of him, because seriously, Christmas, babe, Christmas. I watched the video, and I was looking, you're right, he is just playful. I mean, obviously, they're not, asking him to get collected or anything like that. And he goes around, he's bent to the outside, and he's just a big green thoroughbred. It's not, looking at the pictures, because there's no pictures of him under saddle, I was like, oh, maybe they haven't started him. No, he's broke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was in race training. He just didn't have any potential as far as, the up levels, so... So they decided, rather than run him in the lower level races, to just go ahead and stop and let him go on to a new career without any limitations.
Now, he is unnamed. I mean, so was there a little bit of kind of drama with his papers or ownership or something like that?
No, I think they just didn't get a, you know, decided not to name him. Usually you kind of solidify that close to when they're getting ready to run. That was just something they didn't get around to doing.
Well, he's just absolutely gorgeous. Now, he is at your Kentucky location, and tell us a little bit about your Kentucky facility.
We are boarded at a facility named Western Stables. I have between 20 to 25 horses at any time, just however many the facility has room for to keep there. And we have, you know, generally about 20 of them are in active training, and 5 are hanging out, getting some more time, rehabbing from injuries and such. We have, you know, Meredith
like
Gelding.
You have a covered arena, too.
Yes, we have a huge indoor arena. It's not a luxury, but it's pretty necessary for us. Every day that these horses are there costs money, and so we can't really afford, especially in the winters here, to lose the amount of days we would lose only having an outdoor.
Well, it doesn't matter where you live. It is a luxury, and you're very lucky to have it. I know. I understand, though. You've got to keep these guys going. So a day in the life at the Kentucky facility, is it just everybody ride, ride, ride? You have certain people. How does that work? And who makes the decisions on the horses?
It's very much like any farm. I mean, you have your – a lot of what we deal with is turnout. Most of these guys are coming straight from the track and have not had any turnout. And so we're transitioning from small paddocks up into larger fields, and then we're getting them socialized and into groups. So that's most of what we deal with in the morning. You have vets, farriers come in. And then we'll, you know, once they've had a little time outside, we'll start on into riding. I generally try to have them ridden 3 to 4 days a week. I don't like to do them 2 more days than that, because some of the, especially the ones that are going to go on into pleasure or trail, most, you know, lay horse owners aren't going to ride more than that. So I don't want them to be in a routine of everyday work for work like the racetrack. I want them to chill out, and for them to be able to be pulled out of a field, you hop on, you ride, and they're fine. And, you know, then we'll, at the end of the day, you go into doctoring wounds and bandaging legs and any other, assess any damage that they managed to do out in the field that day.
I've been to this facility, Jamie, and it is neat. That indoor is huge. I mean, I think it's one of the largest I've ever seen. I got to tell you guys, Jennifer looked it up, and when this horse was bred back in 2010, Curlin's fee at that time was $40,000 for breeding. So,
and again, this is a 3-year-old son of Curlin. So $40,000. Now, I'd like to let you know, Glenn, that Curlin's price has gone up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a little more expensive.
It's much higher than that now, isn't it?
Yeah, officially $85,000 to breed to Curlin right now.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. $85,000, and here's an unraced 3-year-old son that is, let's talk about the adoption fee, because, again, Christmas, adoption fee here, what are we looking at, $1,700?
Yes, it's a $1,000 fee with a $700 non-refundable donation, because all of our fees are refundable within the first 60 days, assuming the horse, you know, returns in the same condition that it left.
Okay, the $1,000 is what?
It's a refundable fee. When our horses are adopted under contract, and, you know, should anything not work out or, you know, what have you in the first 60 days, they can come back for a full refund, but under the condition that they return in the exact condition or better than they left.
So you break them, you buy them. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, even then, they can come back. You just probably will not get your fee refunded.
Gotcha. Well, this horse is absolutely stunning. Now, of course, I, being from Georgia, cannot call him Tar Heel. It's just not an option. but we can call him Bulldog. So Bulldog, the Miss North Carolina 10 by Curlin, standing right now at New Vocations in Kentucky. My gosh, you guys, if you're anywhere close and you're looking for a prospect, this is the horse for you. I cannot believe somebody hasn't snapped him up already. By far my favorite you guys have shown us. And so tell everybody.
One of the most athletic.
Say what?
He's one of the most athletic as well.
Yeah. So where can people see him?
The first place to go see him is on our website. It's www.horseadoption.com. And we have all these helpful tabs across the top. You can click on Our Horses and see we have both thoroughbreds and standardbreds. Under the tab How to Adopt, it explains the adoption process. And then one of the first steps is to become an approved adopter. And you can do so under the tab Important Forms. There's the application to become an approved adopter. And you can complete that, send it into our office, and that gets the ball rolling.
And Glenn, don't go on here and look at the standardbreds, my friend, because I already did, and Agent Gibbs should be mine. you guys, well, listen, we absolutely love what you guys do, and we're huge fans. I've got a bunch of off-the-track thoroughbreds here, and Glenn is a standardbred guy, and we thank you guys for doing what you do and being a part of it and helping these horses.
Well, thank you for helping spread the word about us.
Well, let's give this
one a horse adoption. Yeah, unless he's there by Rolex next year, because then I'll be there and he'll be mine. horseadoption.com is where you can find out more. Thank you so much for joining us, Melissa.
Thank you for having me. Have a good morning.
You too. Give him a cookie for me. Give Bulldog a cookie for me.
I will.
They get very busy there at Rolex time. A ton of people go over to the adoption center, which is actually not too far from the Kentucky Horse Park. So
gosh,
of people
this
go over
horse
to
is
the,
just to die for one.
I was just looking at Agent Gibbs. You're right. That's not standardbreddy at all in those pictures of that particular horse.
He is very classy looking.
Yeah,
and again, he's my price too, $300.
Kind of has a non-standardbred face too. You know, it doesn't have the jug head at all. There's no jug head on this one. Kind of more of an
very refined.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's cool. That's very good. Well, Willie, let's hope that this one gets a job to do here in the future. And I'm glad that you don't live close, because you'd be bringing another one home.
This horse would be mine. I'm not kidding you. When I saw him, I saw Jennifer and I think saw him on Facebook at the same time. And both of us were like, holy cow, we want that one. And so, of course, she had to book him for the show, without a doubt.
And a son of Curlin, I mean, how cool would it be that when the announcer announces and you're riding around the cross-country course and the announcer is talking about you and your horse, that every time they announce it, the horse formerly named Tar Heel, son of Curlin.
Well, so he would not be called Tar Heel. I would probably call him, because you can name this horse his registered name. You can give it to him. And I think that I would probably name him Curlin's son, so everybody knew that I was riding
perfect.
The son of Horse of the Year, Curlin.
Are you
allowed
to do
sure.
that, by the way?
Yes! If his name passes the board, yeah, this is Curlin's son I'm riding. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, you're from Georgia, and he doesn't look like a bulldog, so
he's
definitely not bulldogish. No,
but Tar Heel, good God, that just makes me think of that light blue. Ugh. No, not going to happen.
True Georgian speaking here. Hey, you know, one of the things that they try and do over there at at New Vocations is to, you know, get some of the horses that have come off the track healthy again, because not all of them are terrifically healthy. And you have the same mission when you get your horses in. And I know that you're starting to put one of your horses back on an Omega Alpha product because of some issues. So tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's just living here in the desert, too. The horses need different things no matter where they live. And being in the desert here, having an event horse and trying to keep him going, there's a lot of products that I need to help him because he's special anyway. So there's a lot of things that he needs, and thank God Omega Alpha is here to help me and supply those. But one thing that I'm going to use, and I've got Galway Downs International event coming up, and so he's got to be able to breathe when he runs cross country, and the dust that is out here and blowing dust in the desert, I just put him back on airwaves. And I realized when I schooled him this past weekend, I actually posted the video on Facebook of me jump schooling him, the first little bit, he'll start coughing. And I just hate that. I hate the fact that anything is an irritant in his lungs. And so I'll put him on airwaves, and it's just something I put in his feed. They say you can do 30 cc's twice daily. I do it just once daily, put it in this feed. A couple days, there's no cough. It's cleaned everything out. And again, Dr. Chang could explain how that works. I don't know. I just know it does work. The other thing you can do, and what I'll do as we get closer to the competition, is use a little bit of lung flush. And that really loosens everything in their chest cavity. And the airwaves helps push it out. It's such a great product. And if you need a horse to be actually breathing well, unlike Glenn's pony, who just they lead around, because they can't get him to trot. Am I right? I'm right. Maybe he needs a little bit of Endurogen or Enduraforce to get his energy up, because you're a little pony. I've never met a Hackney pony before that didn't want to run away and trot very fast, and your Hackney pony is different. So, you know, maybe there's
lazy.
Something. I know. Get his energy up. Go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Find the products for you. Now, when you are looking at OmegaAlphaEquine.com and you say you have a specific question or a specific problem with your horse and you don't know what to put him on, just contact them. Talk to them about it, and they'd be happy to help you. And again, check it all out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, coming up later this month at the Kentucky Horse Park, it seems like that's where everything is happening nowadays. If you want to meet a true legend in the world of horses, Harry Dallaire is going to be at the Kentucky Horse Park. He's going to be at the National Horse Show, which, of course, moved there last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember. But, you know, it happened in New York for the last 185,000 years. It was been in New York, and then they moved it to the Kentucky Horse Park. They're doing a whole bunch of new things at the Alltech National Horse Show this year. They're having all kinds of exhibitions. They're bringing the carriages back and the coaches back for the coaching classes. And, you know, in addition to the regular 6 days of showing there, it's October 29th through November 2nd. But Harry Dallaire is going to be there, and he will be signing autographs. He'll be speaking to school groups that are coming in. And, of course, he is known for his show jumper by the name of Snowman, who we've talked about here on the show before. And, of course, there's been a book written about the $80 champion. And Jamie and Jennifer will tell you, one of the best horse books ever written, right? I mean, you guys
both
love
that. Oh, my God, it's so good. It is so fantastic. You have to read it if you haven't already.
And so he's going to be talking about former plow horse that became a jumping champion, Amish horse, actually. And he will be there all throughout the show, and he'll be holding receptions, and he basically is a celebrity coming to sign autographs. But how cool would it be to meet him? And he can't be young anymore.
No, he's got to be close to 80, I think, but I think he's still very much got it. You know what I mean? Like, he is.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
Well, there is, let me see here, there's information. You can still buy the book. Just go to Amazon. It's called The $80 Champion. It's for sale in paperback. It's only $12. And they also have it available at Audible if you want to listen to it. And it is an opportunity to meet who they call the Galloping Grandfather. So that's coming up. at the Alltech National Horse Show.
Actually, got to see that guy ride once when I was a teeny kid.
Oh,
did you?
Yep. Yep, at Harrisburg. I got to see him in his later career. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Everybody went bonkers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was a big deal back then, too. I mean, he was recognized
then. Oh,
yeah.
And he was the announcer actually called him the Galloping Grandfather. Yeah.
Huh.
He's a living legend, that's for sure. And, again, that's really cool. Hey, Glenn, I've got a story for you. Do you remember, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I went and bought some baby chicks probably about 6 months ago, and I needed some more chickens. They haven't been laying any eggs, and I went to the little place, and I walked into the feed store, and they had two tubs of chickens, baby chicks. And I said, what are the differences in the breeds and all this? Like, tell me what I'm looking at here. He's like, what are you looking for? And I said, well, I'm looking for some chickens, you know, some hens to lay some eggs. He's like, oh, you want to get from that tub right there. And I was like, well, okay, there's a tub of little baby chicks, but there's another tub of baby chicks. I'm like, what are those for? And he's like, oh, you don't want one of those. Those are meat chickens. And I was like, what? You mean these cute little baby chicks are for laying eggs and these cute little baby chicks people are going to eat? And he's like, yeah. So, of course, I went and picked up some laying hens, and I picked up four laying hens, and just because I had to, I reached in and swiped a little meat chicken, and I thought, at least I can save one. You know, I can't save them all, but I can spend $1.50 and save this, and I picked the smallest one that they had, really cute. I just swiped him up, and I thought, we're going to be best friends. And as it happened, I took said little meat chicken home, and that he wanted no part of me, none, like hated me, hates me. And I feed her and I take care of her and she hates me. And I thought, this is going to be the one that's going to like sit on my shoulder, another happy, you know, like I love blah, blah, blah. I thought it was going to be a match made in heaven. Well, she hates me. Well, this weekend we irrigated really early in the morning, like 5 a.m., and it's still dark outside. So I go outside, and I have to walk by the chicken coop, and I go and I turn on the water and start the pastures, and as I'm walking back, I hear something. And I'm like, what is that? What is that coming from my chicken coop? Guess what it is? It's my little meat chicken crowing. It's a freaking rooster.
You got yourself a rooster.
I'm like, no wonder she hates me. She's an uncastrated male. Not like you can castrate a chicken.
You got yourself a little stud muffin.
Oh, my gosh. And it's just, and it's so small and kind of like weird looking, and it's a mixed breed. Its crow is very quiet, so it's probably been crowing for months, and I had no idea until I was up in the middle of the night and heard it. I'm devastated that my little rescue meat chicken now needs to go and find a new home because I just can't have a rooster. I don't need a rooster. Now, fortunately, it's small, and all the other hens hate it, so maybe we can keep it for a little while and just see if it's, you know, I don't think it's going to get any action from the big ladies, you know what I mean?
Well, I noticed in the post you put on Facebook that you didn't do what a lot of our really bad ads posters do. You didn't put not for meat consumption. You actually put anyone looking for a semi-mean, half-bred meat rooster. So you're just inviting somebody to eat it, you know.
Glenn, the next sentence that I wrote was to a loving home only, okay?
They will absolutely love it as it's grilling on the grill. That's what says to me, I can love this chicken as I'm eating it.
No, it's like the size of a Cornish game hen. It's embarrassingly small.
People eat those too.
I know, gross. But yeah, it's a real easy sales tactic when you say, well, it's mean and it's a half breed and it's a meat rooster. Although my brother did post, he saw it, and I wrote, you know, anybody looking for a semi mean half breed meat chicken? And he's like, I don't need it. I don't need that. But definitely, if I start a band, I'm going to name it Meat Chicken.
That's pretty good.
That's my family right there. Meat chicken.
Now welcome to the stage, meat chicken.
Hey, didn't you have a... So if anybody wants this meat chicken, they can just contact you on Facebook?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure people are lining up. Either that or I'm going to end up throwing it in my neighbor's yard.
Hey, you sold your trailer, right?
I did. And this one's free.
That's right. Come take it away. You're just not allowed to eat it. Or at least don't tell Jamie. One or the other.
And it won't be your friend. It's not very nice. It's pretty mean, actually. No wonder.
Perfect for this soup. Hey, speaking of mean, didn't you have wasn't one of your horses raced illegally in the desert?
Yes. Jet was a match racehorse, ran illegally in the evening and in the cloak of night in the desert with people. Apparently, it's a thing here in Phoenix where if you're in the middle of a nowhere desert, you may come across starting gates, and it's an illegal deal.
It's not only in Arizona, but also in Texas. They just arrested 6 police officers and three other people in relation to an illegal racing and gambling enterprise in Texas. Apparently, they had a whole track set up, and the police would make sure that they provided security, quote-unquote, at the ranch where betting was said to be occurring. And, you know, the thing about this is it's not like you have a cockfight, you know, which happens in a small room and, you know, you can hide that. How do you hide a horse race? I mean, it's not exactly small, but I guess you're in Texas where there's miles and miles and miles on just one person's property. It's pretty easy to go in the back 40 and hide a horse race, I guess.
But still,
word get out.
Cops, police officers were involved. That is disgusting.
Well, the investigation involved the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Texas Rangers. First of all, unless you live in Texas, you think the Texas Rangers were something that doesn't exist anymore. You kind of have in your mind that there's no such thing as Texas Rangers anymore. But apparently the Texas Rangers investigated and arrested these 6 police officers who were involved in it. So they shut it down.
Good. I'm glad they caught them, because the problem with that illegal racing and gambling and in my horse's experience was it's horribly frightening for them, you know, to be screamed at and taken along in the desert, and the footing is terrible. They hurt themselves. It's quite a nightmare. And to this point where, you know, I have this horse as an event horse now that I cannot gallop. Because all I have around here for my gallop sets are desert, and I can't gallop him in the desert. He freaks out. So it's a lot.
So you're saying you don't think they have a whip rule or drug testing out there at El Rancho in Texas?
Probably not. No, I think they're allowed pretty much whatever they can. Hey, pump him full of stuff right now. He's got to race in 5 minutes. Yeah, it's not very regulated and probably pretty awful. Every time I compete my horse, I'm like, I can't believe he'll do this for me after what he's been through.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true of all of the horses that have been abused or starved or whatever. You know, if you're looking for the opposite end of the spectrum, Jamie, you can drive yourself up through the center of the country from Texas all the way up to Ohio, and you can find yourself a mighty fine little establishment to put your horses on. It's called Eutrophia Farms. And it's an 84-year-old thoroughbred trainer who's retiring, and they're going to be putting the farm up for auction on October the 22nd. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this farm. One, it's absolutely beautiful. It has 25 pastures, 81 stalls, 140 acres. It's 25 miles from Cleveland and close to several racetracks. It has 2.5 miles of wooded riding trails, 3 lakes, and several houses on the property. And I'm sure at this auction you could get this for a steal. By the way, you can also buy 17 horses, yearlings, and broodmares available at the same auction. But I don't know if you see the pictures of it, but this is a huge barn, absolutely gorgeous. Obviously, pictures were taken in the summertime, but the paddocks are laid out beautifully, and it is just a stunning farm. This is Kentucky-type farm here.
It's gorgeous, and I'll tell you, this is exactly where I used to live when I lived east of Cleveland, was in this area. And let me paint a little picture for you. Green, lush fields, and beautiful sunshine. This was taken on the 2 days that everything is green because it snows the entire rest of the freaking year because it's lake effect snow. It's southeast of the big lake, and all they do is get dumped on by snow. So you're buying a facade. This is a sham. This is, oh, my God, look how beautiful this place is. You know, they were like, bring in the camera crew, Scott. We've got 2 hours. It's going to be
probably
white.
Judging by this barn now, the barn is probably heated. I think the barn's probably heated, judging by the looks of this. It's a neat barn.
Yeah,
but it comes with all
the
tractors and trailers and equipment and tack and tools and furniture. It comes with everything.
That's because this person was like, I'm getting the hell out of here. Leave it all. Run,
you know where this
south.
84-year-old came? He lives in our neighborhood now, down here in Florida.
I know,
exactly.
Right?
What happened to him. Or he's living in one of yours out there in Arizona, one of the two.
Yeah.
All right, well, look at it this way, everybody. If you want a farm in snow country, Jamie will not be bidding against you. And I'm sure it's only going to go for like 125, 125, you know. You can pick this up.
Steel. Steel is a sham, though. It's not
Stephen Peters was out over the weekend at the Festival of Champions at the Kentucky Horse Park. Back to the Kentucky Horse Park. Seems like that's where all the news was from over the weekend. He won another title. He won his 7th Festival of Champions. He is now the Grand Prix Dressage National Champion again for the 7th time. He has just been dominating here in the United States. He came in with a score of 79.45. which is the opposite of eventing. You actually do want a high score. And he was riding Legolas, and it's his horse of choice right now, and the horse that he's gearing up to take to the World Equestrian Games next year. And Robert Dover was there. Of course, Robert Dover's the new chef to keep, and Robert Dover will be guiding his future here through the next 6 months to 8 months, getting him ready for the All-Tech World Equestrian Games. I'm not sure what he's going to do in Wellington this winter because they're really trying to groom this horse as one of the best options for winning anything at the games dressage-wise. We had, just as a side note, we had Stefan's wife on the Stable Scoop show last week. She has a new product line out. We were actually talking to her about her products, leather care products of all things, and she is a lovely woman. We had never talked to her before. She's a very good rider in her own right. A very good dressage rider. It helped coach Stefan in the early years. And an absolutely delightful person. I've never talked to her before. So she's really cool. If you want to hear that interview, just head on over to Stable Scoop.
Awesome. Hey, did you see on Facebook that, you know, Robert Grantham is a listener of ours, and he posted a video of the horse that he adopted. He lived here in Arizona, and he adopted a horse from the MASH unit, which you can find at MASH Horses if you search on Facebook. He posted a video of the little colt that he adopted, or little gelding that he adopted, and oh my gosh, it is so well done. It's like a movie premiere, like a movie trailer.
I know. When I watched it, I thought, who put this together? I thought he had. Did he do it himself, or were the professionals, or what?
I don't know. It's just really good. It's amazing. So go head over to our Facebook page, and it says, here's a little video I made of Sham to share with everybody. So you got to go check that out. It's absolutely hysterical.
A race against time. And a quest for glory.
Yeah,
he is
it's
so
like a
cute.
Movie trailer.
His little tail up when he runs around. I didn't realize how small he was. He looked bigger in the pictures. In this video, it looks tiny.
He's a little guy. Well, that's what happens when you starve horses when they're growing up. Is, you know, he adopted him and took him and going to love him no matter what. But, yeah, he is a little guy.
He's cute. Very cute, Robert. I hope you get to playing with him very soon, because it's fun to start into the whole ground driving thing and, you know, get him lunging and all of that. So, well, I assume that'll be coming soon. But he looks healthy. I mean, he looks good that way.
Yeah, this horse she couldn't even approach. So the fact that he can, you know, now put a halter on him and go get him and brush him, you know, it's really, really cool. Again, this was a horse that you couldn't even look at before he'd run away. So he's got his work cut out for him, but he's doing great.
Well, let's take a break for a commercial and our song of the day. And I thought we'd go with a little Jared Rogerson today, Have a Good Life. Thought that would be a good start to a Monday, right after we talk about some new products out at Fleeceworks. So we're going to be right back. We have the Wacky World of Horses coming up, brought to you by High Visibility. That'll be just in a minute, and we'll be right back.
Fleeceworks is proud to announce its latest offering for Western enthusiasts, the Square Wool Underpad. Developed with input from extreme cowboy racing champion Robin Bond, the Fleeceworks 100% Merino Wool Underpad is designed so a Navajo blanket can be used over top, allowing for the custom look you want for competition, while providing your horse the thermal balancing advantages of Fleeceworks 100% Merino Wool. Fleeceworks Western pads even include removable viscoelastic inserts. Of course, Fleeceworks continues to be your go-to brand for the finest in wool accessories, from grooming mitts that bring out your horse's natural shine to halter and cribbing collar covers that look as beautiful as they fit. Ask for Fleeceworks products at your local tack and feed stores, or you can visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
Where I wasn't looking, I'd just turn around and you were there. We spent all night talking about the things that make us shine and how we never wanted it like this. You're an angel, no doubt about it. You can see right through my disguise, and the way that you're flying's got me mesmerized. I know you're something that I could never forget. So have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see you again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. I'm like that pack of cigarettes. I got nothing you need. So go on living your dream, and I'll keep chasing mine. Let's don't pretend I don't have regrets. Have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see. But what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. Chalk it up to circumstance.
Jared Rogerson and Have a Good Life. You can find all of Jared's music over at jaredrogerson.com. You can also find his schedule. He's been doing a whole lot of concerts and fairs and things around the Midwest. So if you want to check out his schedule, you can do that over at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, who is unsure of where she is, apparently, unless we have it written down. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair as well. We're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. So have you solidified the tickets? Are you going to go to see Templeton, or what's the scoop?
Oh, I am going. I'm so excited. So Keith Creek is about an hour and 15 minutes from where I live, because everything is at least an hour away. And so my husband and I are going to meet some friends, two other couples down in Cave Creek, and we are going to pretty much hang out all night long, and they live in Cave Creek, so we're going to crash at their house. We don't have to drive home. I'm so excited. It's going to be like a birthday day out on the town. It's a little western town, so it's really fun. Just the fact that Tempe is playing, is I'm so excited.
Well, Jennifer's trying to get her on the show later in the week, so you'll be able to talk to her about her appearance. So hopefully we're gonna be able to nail her down and get her at least to come on for a couple minutes.
I have a song request, so she better play
my
song.
I'm sure you do. Let me guess. Does it involve girls and horses?
It might, but I'll let it be a surprise. Of course it is.
I don't know what else you would request. I think that's the only song that you absolutely love. I mean, that's got to be one of your favorite songs. But it is how you kind of got to know her, so it's her.
Yeah, and it's my theme song, so I have to hear it.
Oh, it's your theme song.
Yeah,
I didn't know we needed
the song that's
song.
In my head all the time. That song's in my head. Like, yeah, it's a theme song. What, do you not have a song that represents you, Glenn?
No, I apparently need to think a little harder about that and come up with one.
Jennifer, do you have a song that represents you? Like, you hear that song, you're like, this is so me.
Yeah, but it might be a little embarrassing for everybody to know what era it's from.
Hey, it doesn't matter. You got to let it go.
I saw an article today on I can't believe this. You know, it's hard enough. You know, you're just thinking if Jennifer says this name, she's going to get picked on, right? It's hard enough going. High school's tough. You know, high school's tough. If you've got anything going on that's a little different in your life, you're going to have a tough time in high school. You know, I was pretty good at getting beat up on the sports bus on the way home. So I read this article today, and the reason that this caught my attention, it was the school, one of our arch-rival schools right in near Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And this kid, there was a whole article in the Lancaster newspaper about this 17-year-old and how much of a brony he is. That he wears brony type pinks and purples, and he has brony stuffed animals in the dash of his car. And I'm going, are you just asking to be beat up on a daily basis at high school? Isn't that something? He says, I do know other kids who are Bronies fans, but they're in the closet. And I'm going, yeah, because they didn't want to get beat up every day.
Like, being 17 is not hard enough.
Hard enough.
And then you throw that on it. Oh, and then they post an article about it in the paper. Seriously, this guy, he needs some protection. Like,
he does. He's going to need a bodyguard. He is going to need a bodyguard, a big one. God.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, no.
And we're talking Ephrata High School. We're talking a high school that is nothing but farm boys, you know, that from out on the farm. And it's like, oh, man, he's going to have a tough time.
I mean, we are not high school students. And we are not high school boys. And we make fun of bronies.
I know.
This guy's in big trouble.
He is. God, I hope he doesn't go to college. Well, college he might fit in a little bit better, actually. He'll probably do better at college.
Because
he can find his own little, he can find his own little brony group, and he'll be fine. But when I read that this morning, I just went, oh, my God, I got beat up, and I wore normal clothes.
Did you really get beat up?
There was this one kid on the I was always in sports, and there was one kid on the sports bus, and of course he played like the front lineman on the football team, and he was mean. And from what I hear, he still is. And he was just mean, and he would pick on anybody. Well, I happened to be his chosen target because I happened to be on the same bus. So anytime I was so thankful when I could get a ride home and didn't have to take the bus. And it wasn't every day, but there was, you know, it was just enough days to make that a dreaded thing, you know. And I was a wrestler, and he was on the wrestling team. Fortunately, he wrestled a different weight. He was much bigger than I was, so he wrestled a different weight. Oh yeah,
course,
but if I had to wrestle him, I guaranteed I was getting hurt that day. There was no question about it.
Wow.
And guaranteed I was going to be doubled over at some point during that time. He made sure of that. So, yeah, that was my traumatic high school bus. I'll never forget it. Hi, Jack,
you know,
if you're still out there.
What was his name? What was his name?
Jack. His name was Jack.
Jack what?
Jack Balish.
See, this is a lesson to anybody who's in
and
high
by
school
the way,
right now.
I don't remember anybody's names of anybody I went to school with. Very few of them, but I remember that name.
Exactly. You always remember the name of the one person who made your life hell. And it's so bizarre how that sticks with you. So my point is, if you are in high school right now, or you are going into high school, or you're a young person, be nice to everybody, because people like Glenn will remember you as a horrible memory for the rest of their life. Okay? So just be nice.
That's right. Well, let's find out. We do have Leslie from Horse Nation coming up here in just 1 minute with the Wacky World of Horses Report, brought to you by High Visibility North America. I'm going to find out from her in just a minute whether she was the bully or the bullier or the bully. So,
did you see what your wife posted? She just posted that you wrestled in the scrawny division.
That's true. I did. High Visibility North America are the distributors of UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines called Equisafety. Equisafety is a supplier in the UK to numerous mounted police forces, thousands of equestrians, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. The range is now available in the USA and Canada. The Equisafety range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe, whether you're in the woods during hunting season, while riding on the road, or out on a trail, but is also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James from Road to the Horse and Kim Gentry, FEI dressage rider. And also, Stephen Peters was wearing one over the weekend. She posted pictures, and I put them on our Facebook page, of Stephen along with the Pony Club kids wearing the Equisafety products. They're really cool. They really fit. And Jamie and I see news stories every day of people getting hit on the roads while riding their horses on the roads in this country. There's no reason that you shouldn't have something that's from High Visibility, and you shouldn't be wearing it. It will definitely, when people see bright colors like that when they're driving, they slow down immediately. It's just human nature. So if you're in a hunting area where they're going to be hunting this season coming up in November, it's the start of hunting season, or if you're in an area where you ride on the roads a lot, you definitely need either the jacket or the vest or something from this company. You can find them at highvisibility.us.com or find them on Facebook at facebook.com/Equisafety. It is really cool stuff at affordable prices. Order it today. We have some, and we love it. And I know you've seen it before, so it is good stuff. It's not your typical crappy stuff you buy for construction workers. This is fitted, nice stuff for riders. So
yeah,
go out and get it. Well, let's talk to Leslie. Now, Leslie, we need to find out real quick. Jamie, I'll let you take over here in a second, but we have to find out, were you the bullier or the bully?
I'm not sure I was either. I think I was just the weirdo horse girl.
That's the other category.
I did my own thing. I had my own thing going.
Did you have other people that rode in your high school? Because I was the only one who rode in my entire high school.
Yeah. I had, there were two or three other girls, and, like, so we had, like, the horse club and, like, ate lunch together and, you know, schemed various horsey schemes together.
That was to
so.
Keep from getting beat up.
Yeah, I guess so. Safety in numbers.
Well, speaking of high school drama with all of that, you guys have had a how to defeat barn drama in 6 easy steps. And again, we were just kind of talking along the same lines as this, as be nice to everybody, you know, people will remember you if you're mean kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about barn drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably something that every horse person experiences at some point in their life. I'm really lucky right now because the barn that I'm at is just super low-key, low drama. Everyone's supportive of everyone else. You know, nobody's talking behind anyone else's back. But certainly I've also previously been at barns where, like, it was kind of like high school, you know. The gossip and criticism, and it just wasn't a healthy feeling environment. So our weekend editor, Carla Lake, put together a post with some tips for, she says, staying out of the fray, keeping the drama level low at your barn, or at least keeping yourself at an arm's distance from it. So she offered 6 tips, which I'll quickly go through. Listen before you speak. You know, I think horse people are sort of known for giving unsolicited opinions, but that
no, that never happens.
That never happens.
We don't do that here in the show.
Right. Let's see. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything to anyone.
My mom has said that forever. She can't say something nice. Don't say anything at all. And that is so true.
So true. So true. You know, it just doesn't help anyone, yourself included, to bash someone else or gossip or talk smack about their riding, you know, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to come back on you. So just doesn't, that is a lose-lose situation for everyone. Keep it professional. If you do see something that is just wrong or unsafe and you need to say something, take some tips from the business world to keep feelings from getting hurt. Praise in public, chastise in private. You know, she says, and this is a good tip for all corners of your life, sandwich criticism between positive comments. I think that's a good way of doling it out and without putting someone on the defensive.
Let me give an example of that, because I totally agree with that, and it's hard to remember that. But let's say, oh my gosh, your turnout is just absolutely beautiful, man. You should really tighten up that bridle. But your saddle pad is gorgeous. You know, like that kind of thing.
Exactly.
That's a great example. Sure.
Ask questions rather than making assumptions. You know, I think that's rather than immediately judging people or like, oh, that's not the way I do things, so it must immediately be wrong. You know, why not ask them why they're doing something a certain way? You might actually learn something. If it's none of your business, don't seek it out. You know, sometimes, oh goodness, you walk into the tack room and there, you know, there's a the, there's a group of girls standing around talking trash about another rider behind their back, and it's okay to just turn back around and walk right back out of the tack room. That's fine. And one last one, don't trash people on the internet. You know, I'm sure we've all seen posts from people who they think that they're being, you know, they say something and it's kind of encoded and they don't use names, but everyone knows what you're talking about. You know, if you're in the know, you know what they're talking about. So you're not being as anonymous as you think. Carla suggests, if you really feel like you just need to get it out, like, write it. Write whatever you want and then delete it. But it's not going to help anything to, air your dirty laundry over Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Do you guys find that, Jennifer and I found this because we've been in so many barns over the years. As soon as you walk in the barn, I think every barn has a feel. And it doesn't matter whether there's anybody in the barn. You walk into a barn, and I haven't been able to pinpoint quite what it is. It's the barn's aura. But every barn has a feel, and you can kind of tell what kind of situation you're walking into just immediately when you do that. Is that something you guys have discovered?
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's true.
It is. When I was moving to Phoenix, Chad and I, who had really never been around a horse before, we were looking at barns in Phoenix, and we go to one, and I'm talking to the lady, and I'm like, okay, we'll give you a call. We get in the car. He's like, so what do you think? He's like, what do you think about this place? I'm like, oh, she's crazy. I'm like, there ain't no way we're born here. And he's like, and I was like, yeah, trust me. I'm like, we need to steer clear of this place. It has that feel. And just by talking to some horse people, you know, you can, if you are a real horse person, you can read between the lines of the crap somebody is shoveling at your feet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And he was like, oh, well, they will talk to you. And I was like, oh, drive faster. Get out of here. Let's go. It's like, how did you know?
The opposite point is you walk into a happy barn and you know it right away, too. The horses have their heads out. They're looking around. They're all happy. You can just tell by the horses what kind of barn you're walking into.
Yeah.
That's so true. And I think horses really can soak up whatever sort of environment they're in. You know, I think that, like, being at a low-key, relaxed barn, like, I think the horses are just taking deeper breaths, you know, rather than when everyone's uptight and stressed and, like, you know, really ambitious. And, you know, I think that the horses, they're so intuitive. Horses are empathetic, that I think they just soak that stuff right up.
And when I was at Vet Tech, you know, going from barn to barn, the behavior, the ground behavior and being a veterinary assistant trying to handle some horses at different barns, you know, you go to some barns and every one of those horses is so difficult to handle because they're angry or they're pent up and they're cooped up and they don't always get, you know, and a lot of them could be the most fancy barn in the world. And the horses are all angry. So it just depends on, you're right, Glenn, like kind of the whole overall feel of the place is definitely represented by the horses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. For sure. Now, Jamie's barn, I don't know if you heard, Leslie, but Jamie's having a little trouble at her farm right now in that all the animals, including the horses, if you walked into her place right now, it'd be a little stressful. Because apparently there's a rooster causing some trouble. So if you need yourself a meat rooster, we can send it on over from Arizona, and we can get the tranquility back into the paddocks at Jamie's flyover farm.
Yes, because I need all the help I can get. Lucky the meat hen is Lucky the meat rooster. So Lucky just got unlucky because now Lucky's going to need a new home.
Rooster burgers.
I'm a vegetarian, Leslie, and if you want chicken, you can't eat it.
No thanks.
It'll make sense. Now, a rooster.
speaking of getting the calming vibe back into your facility, you know right where I'm going with this, Leslie. You've got an article on using marijuana to treat colic. What?
Your transitions today are just beautiful.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, so we know marijuana has been legalized in some states now, and there was actually recently a conversation in a American Veterinary Medical Association journal or newsletter about veterinary uses for medical marijuana. In the story in their newsletter, they talked about a horse that was suffering, an older horse that was suffering from degenerative ligament disease. Yeah, and and the owner tried everything. You know, nothing seemed to work, and then. She starts feeding the horse marijuana, and I guess she felt like she boiled it and then made the abstract into a butter that she feeds the horse. And she said the horse is
she could have just made it brown
now.
I mean, if she just made brownies, she'd have been fine. She didn't have to go through all that work.
Right. Right. So I don't know. So I was like, I don't know about this, but our writer who researched this topic, Shara, she started looking into the history of marijuana for veterinary purposes and found that it actually has been people have been using it to help horses for a long time. The ancient Greeks used it for colic and wound care. She found a picture of a, it says Raleigh's colic and bloat compound for horses and cattle. And one of the ingredients is marijuana, which is
cannabis.
Cannabis. I guess the U.S. government supplied cannabis as part of the standard first aid kit to cavalry troopers who also did vet duty in the field.
How many of these guys, they get a shipment of cannabis for their horses. How much of a percentage did actually go to the horses, you think? I mean, maybe they're like, oh, this stuff works. Keep sending it. And meanwhile, all the troops are totally baked out of their brains.
Well, you know, back
so
in the 18, what people don't realize is back in the 1800s, they made oil out of the plants, and they used it for cooking and lamps and lacquers and paints. Could you imagine putting the cannabis oil or cannabis oil in your, you know, to make your stir fry?
Yummy!
Two for one. It'd be like a happy night. Just all be mellow, watching TV. Everything would be cool. You know what? That would solve that barn drama that we were talking about.
Know.
Here, have some oil.
Here.
Take a swig.
You get your munchies and you get the munchies taken care of at the same time. Just stir fry it. That's a great idea, Glenn.
That's true. You can make that vegetarian. We can put the chicken in there. Take that rooster, Lucky. Lucky cannabis stir fry.
How dare you?
Oh, goodness.
A little garlic, sea salt.
Sorry,
go on.
All right, before we let you go, one more. We wouldn't be Horse Nation if we didn't talk about fashion, because you guys are always breaking barriers down between non-horse fashion and horse fashion. Are these actually boots that people are supposed to ride in, or are these runway type things?
Yes, I found these boots. They're a line of boots made by KP Equestrian, who's Katie Price, and Italian riding boots. And they come in colors such as patent leather red and patent leather pink and silver and gold. And
And I'm sort of on the fence. I cannot decide whether they're awesome or I would never be caught dead in them.
I'm not sure.
I need a second opinion.
The silver and gold ones look like something out of the Wizard of Oz movie, you know, from like the 1930s.
I thought the silver ones were gorgeous. I'm like, but I would not wear them with riding pants. And I want to get your opinion since you know him very, very well and you guys are like really close. What would George Morris say?
Oh, my goodness. What wouldn't he say about these? Do not think these are George Morris approved. No, definitely not.
You wouldn't ride into your Hunter ring with the hot pink, you know, the patent leather red or the pink boots on. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. George Morris, somewhere, wherever he is, would shoot laser beams out of his eyeballs, and it would transpose all the way across the world to wherever you were and zap you off of your horse. And that's what would happen.
That's right. But I think there is a place in the world for these boots, and maybe cross country. Like, what if... You know, I think a pair of silver boots could really be cool cross country, right?
Except for everybody would laugh at you. I mean, seriously.
You know, you'd be fine.
Only because they'd be jealous.
If you just had a My Little Pony sticker on the side, you'd be fine. You'd be good. Nobody'd laugh. Put some My Little Pony stickers all over them.
You might get bullied. You might get beat up at the horse show wearing those pink boots around.
Glenn, you would look fantastic with your pony in those pink boots. You wear the pink boots, you take your new driving cart or
yellow,
whatever.
I need yellow boots. Can you find me some yellow ones, Leslie?
Yellow boots. I'll work on it.
Leslie, how much do these cost? Do you know?
Oh, you know, I looked them up. They're expensive. They are custom, even though they're custom Italian riding boots. So I'd say they're right up there.
I won't be getting you some for Christmas, Glenn. Sorry, they're too expensive.
Yeah, whenever you put custom and Italian in the same sentence, you can't afford it.
Exactly.
You know, I looked it up, and they cost about the same amount as an unraced son of Curlin.
$1,700.
Money well spent. Leslie,
buy the son of Curlin. Yeah,
exactly. Leslie, did you see the horse that we talked to New Vocations, which is a racehorse adoption program, about once a month, and they feature a horse on our show. Holy cow, go to our Facebook page right now and see the horse they featured and tell me this does not have upper level event horse written all over him. Are you in the market? Always, like me?
What's your husband say to that?
No, but yes. Yeah, he would kill me.
You're only one state away. This is your freaking horse. This is the most athletic. It's unraced 3-year-old by Curlin.
North Carolina. Oh, my goodness. Miss North Carolina.
Ted, this is a gelding, too. It's a gelding, and he's not named, so you can name him whatever you want.
Oh, man.
How did a gelding get named Miss North Carolina, by the way?
Man.
Because they name all babies. Zenyatta's first colt was Zenyatta 11. They name them. It's the mare's name and the year the colt was born or the foal was born. So that's how it's Miss North Carolina 10. It was born in 10 by Miss North Carolina, Miss North Carolina. So that's how it works. But you need to have him if I can't.
This is cruel of you. I don't. I wish I'd never seen your face, horse. Beautiful face. Well, maybe one of your listeners will adopt him and we can live vicariously
and save
through
him.
You're only one state away. It's so close. You're so close.
Stop.
Look at that
thank
shot.
You,
look
Leslie.
At the impulsion from behind. Oh.
No.
Well, Leslie, while you're drooling over that horse, thanks for being on again. We really appreciate it.
Sure, thanks for having us.
Of course, Leslie's here every Monday. She is from Horse Nation, and she joins us every Monday here in the show at 10 o'clock. And this particular episode of Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses is brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find the best place is at facebook.com/equisafety. So coming up next here, I just need to do a couple things about schedule. Of course, Jennifer and I will be here tomorrow morning. We have a new show coming out on the network starting tomorrow.
Really?
Horsemanship Radio of Debbie Laux, the daughter of Monty Roberts. His new show is starting tomorrow. So the first episode will be out. We're going to try and get Debbie on the show tomorrow morning. And she will. She's doing a show all about natural horsemanship. And her first episode,
awesome,
of course, includes Monty. Monty will come on the first episode with her. And it was just a lot of fun. Debbie's a really, really, really neat person. I really like Debbie. We've known her for years. And, you know, one of the first nights I spent with Debbie was in Kentucky in the town of Midway at a Templeton Thompson concert.
No way!
Yeah. Yes, first awesome. One of the first times I met her. Yep, was there. So we're very excited. The Horsemanship Radio is coming out on the network. It's on the app already. And her second episode, the first official episode, will be coming out tomorrow. You can check it out at horsemanshipradio.com. Just thought I'd throw
that
in.
That's awesome.
Give her a
plug. I'll have to check that out. That sounds really good. Well, hey, I've got a screaming baby. Made it all the way through the show. Are you so proud? Yay!
Yay! Good job, baby.
And
Luke,
so far, Facebook update, no takers on Lucky the Rooster. I'm going to name him Unlucky now. No takers on Unlucky the Rooster.
Yeah, I think you're going to wait a while on that one. I would put an ad on Craigslist. You're sure to get
day.
A quality individual.
I can ship him across the country if anybody needs him.
You know, why don't you just do what all your neighbors do? What all your neighbors do and throw them in some neighbor's yard. That's what they all do.
I think I might do that. And I have just a neighbor in mind.
The loudest neighbor.
I have just a neighbor in mind.
All right. We'll see everybody. Have a great day. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you spending time with us here on Horses in the Morning.
Fay, neuter, and geld. And get rid of all your roosters. Can you yell the rooster? Is it called
Cannabis Lucky Stew? Cannabis Lucky Stir Fry. That's
gross.